are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
And Courtney, thank you for modeling our gift. I can't wait to try all the gadgets to that gift. First thing Pastor Greta said to me is, I want one of those. Because if you know Pastor Greta, her purse is filled with everything that a man desires to have to fix things. She is very capable of fixing things. Well, it is a pleasure to be here on this wonderful day, Father's Day, and to spend time worshiping and praying. Thank you for your heart, Mr. Al. We appreciate your love for the Lord. We appreciate how you model how to live a worshiper's life before the Lord. And thank you, Brian, for being a great brother and taking care of Felipe today. And thank you, Pastor Greta, for your mama's heart, for Pastor Alvin, who we love dearly. What a great day already in the household of the Lord. Amen. I wanted to, you know, when you're crafting and seeking the Lord for Father's Day, you know, there's all these messages that you hear the world speak about fathers. And the church isn't too well at doing it either, because every Father's Day, each father leaves getting spanked. That's not who I am. That's not how I approach ministry. I don't think fathers need to be dumbed down, spanked, or put in their place. I think they need to be honored, respect it, and allow God to direct their lives. That's who I am. If there ever were fathers that I look at in this place, as a pastor who has a shepherd's heart, I have the father heart of God like you do. And there are many times because of who you are, I've become a better father myself to my own sons and to the children of God that God places in my life to shepherd. It's through your lives and your testimonies and where you really go out of your way to mirror the father heart of God as I watch you direct your children and discipline your children, love your wives, nurture your family. You are very loving, very responsible, God-fearing men in this house. For that, as your shepherd, I say thank you. It doesn't honor me, it doesn't honor Joy, but it honors the Lord. And when it honors the Lord, it does all those two I just mentioned. Amen? Amen. So I just thank the Lord for each one of you today as you have shepherded my heart and been gracious to me when I've actually made mistakes as a father. That's what we're here to do today. Amen? So I want to talk to you today about something really special in my heart, and that is the gift of God's wisdom. And I want to take you right now to Proverbs chapter 4, and I want to take you to verses 1 to 10, and I love this scripture. And the Lord put this on my heart a few weeks ago, and I love it because it's really about a son who's honoring his father. It's Solomon, and he wrote this psalm and this proverb, and he wrote it on behalf of his father. And he's not speaking from his own understanding, but he's speaking to us from the legacy of the words that his father had spoken to him when he was a young chap. And so here he is, passing on this legacy of wisdom, which is a gift from God, and he's hoping that as he gives us these insights, as he gives us these things that shaped his heart, and at the end of his life, he's realizing that the very things that perhaps he didn't pay attention to, perhaps the things he never considered, perhaps the things that his father had warned him to pay attention to, that he ignored or he rebelled or thought that his father was just an old geezer, tired of parenting, and really what he was saying was just to discipline him and keep him in line. When all along, it was God speaking through his father. And now, years later, he's a father himself, and he's speaking unapologetically words of wisdom, which were a gift from the Father in heaven to his own Father, and now to him as he's speaking to his children. And because of that, we get the blessing of the gift God's wisdom is to us today. Let's read verses 1 to 10, please. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Verse 10, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 10. Some years ago in a military academy, the students mutinied, probably a reaction to the hard demands of such an environment. The students had struck in everything, lessons, study hours, drill. When word reached their parents, the students began to receive telegrams, which the principal had in his possession. These messages were like a telescope through which one could look into the various kinds of boys' homes and the parental relationships connected to them. One father wired his son, I expect you to obey. Another one said, if you are expelled from school, you needn't come home. Still another said, I'll send you to an insane asylum if you are sent home. That's encouraging, isn't it? Another said, I'll cut you off without a penny if you disgrace the family. But the best message was couched in these succinct words. Steady, my boy. Steady, father. Now, there was a man who extended the gift of God's wisdom to his son. Steady, my boy, steady. As fathers, we can steady our children with the words from Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 10. Solomon provided clear expectations for his children to get wisdom, yet he didn't want them to lean on it apart from the Lord. And we understand that even good wisdom, divorced from God, it can be a snare. You want wisdom from God, not wisdom from the world. You want wisdom from God, not just wisdom from life's experience. I've received wisdom from men who spoke just from life experience and not from God. Always checking with God to see if that was appropriate wisdom. And Solomon knew that too, all too well. Though Solomon was a prince and an heir to the throne of his father did not let him live to please himself in his youth. He tutored him, and he reminded Solomon, steady, my boy, steady. You see, a father's, he impacts his child, his children's lives through the gift of God's wisdom. And I want to share with you some encouraging points this morning from these 10 verses to help you impact your children's lives with the gift of God's wisdom. I don't care how old you might be as a father, you can be 100 And 20 years old, you still need the wisdom of God every day of your life. Amen? All of us do. And we see in verses 1 to 2 that a father who's impacting their children's life needs to intentionally provide loving and godly instruction. Fathers must realize that children are convinced that the world should revolve around them rather than around God or God's will for their lives. And they need you to help direct them with this mindset. Every child is born with that mindset. That, excuse me, Dad? Excuse me? Everything revolves around me today. Though God has divinely inspired Solomon with wisdom, the thing I love about Solomon, God visited him after in a dream. And he gave him all the choices he could have of the world. And he did not choose any of those things of the world. He chose God's wisdom. And God increased his wisdom based on his requests. And the beautiful thing about Solomon is he doesn't function in that wisdom apart from God. No matter how smart you may be able to figure things out, strategically plan, or execute things with excellence, we all require the wisdom of God. Solomon is he's a good example of that. And the beautiful thing about these 10 verses are they are an actual quote of his father's wisdom in the days of his youth. A father's desire to impart godly wisdom will help build their children's character, direct their decisions, correct their lifestyles, and create reliance upon the Lord. I like this quote. A father is someone who not only gives life, but educates with love and takes full responsibility for his family. I remember when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, my pastor knew that I came from a family of people who were not believers. He didn't say this, but I knew he thought it, that I was like an orphan child. One of the things I love about Pastor Jim Craig is that he never withheld directing my life with intentionality. He provided direction, instruction. He prayed for me, not only he, but his family. He provided a place for me to live. And he directed me in the footsteps so that I would end up serving God with all my heart. He actually was the one who drove me all the way to Elam so that I could be introduced to Elam Bible Institute. He invested in my heart and in my life. He was intentional about providing loving, discerning instruction. And when you are somebody who recently is saved and you come out of the world and you've been shaped by the world, he had an understanding that it was going to take years for God to transform my life. And so he didn't make it his responsibility to correct me every day. When he made it his responsibility was to love me that I might surrender my heart and let God instruct me through his instruction. What a principle he used to build in my heart to shepherd God's people and to shepherd my own sons and all the wonderful spiritual sons and daughters that I have today. Not only here at Joy, I have sons and daughters all over the world because of that impact that Pastor James Craig from Sudbury, Ontario, Canada had in my life. I'm forever grateful. When we look at these verses, these 10 verses, I see that when a father is intentional, he will not hesitate or withhold clear expectations. We're living in a society where fathers aren't allowed to speak the truth. That the government's going to speak the truth on our behalf. Can I tell you, you need to speak the truth. And you need to speak it from the word of the Lord. And a father needs to understand that there's no apology needed to pick up the word of God and direct a teacher or anybody else giving instruction to their child. You have the first responsibility. God gave that to you, not to the school, not to the government, not to any sporting event or club. You are the father who's been given the wisdom to lead that child. Amen? Don't get me going, Jesus, please. I'm just telling you. I love these 10 verses. They pump me up. They set a fire underneath me. And they cause me to understand that as a shepherd and as a father and a watchman over the household of God and the kingdom of God, I have a responsibility to provide clear direction, correction when needed, and even discipline. Amen? With the spirit of God's love. But to be intentional. How do I know that? Because Solomon lays it all out for me. He actually gives me the method of doing it. He says to his sons, hear what I say. Give your attention. Do not forsake my instructions. Retain my words. Keep my commands. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake wisdom. Love wisdom. In all you're getting, get wisdom and get understanding. I think the Father has something to say. Amen? Fathers, I want to empower you. I want to release you to speak the word of the Lord with confidence. To seek the Lord when you don't have answers, which most of us don't have. Amen? But it doesn't mean you're not a qualified father. It just means you need to step in to the Spirit of the living God, pressing in for the wisdom of God, and then releasing direction into your children's hearts. Amen? He's waiting for us to do that with confidence this morning. There's a young gentleman that's here. I'm going to ask him to come forward. And he's been touched by a spiritual father in this house. He came to us. Somebody who didn't know Jesus Christ came to Joy, got saved. God grabbed a hold of his heart, gave him a discipler, and that father in the faith has been walking with this man through a new journey. I want to invite Vincent Jones to come and share about his spiritual father today.
I've been praying that the Lord will place words in my heart that need to be said, and I'm gonna.
Hello.
I'm gonna. I'm doing this off the cuff because I'm not really a speaker. This is really out of my comfort zone, but my father has been gone 18 years, and he wasn't a real communicative, you know, kind of fellow, but he more led by example, and you know, his example was hard work and you know, just making stuff happen, and. You know, after he left, you know, I was feeling like really alone. Well, after both of my parents left, I was just feeling alone, and I used to isolate myself for a long time. And then the pandemic came, and I was like, ooh, hey, I was already isolating. This is no problem for me. So, you know. We had that first year of the pandemic. And then in the second year, my path was guided to my godmother. You all know her, Estelle Brumfield. And she had a person that was caring for her. And I met her. And the Lord spoke to me very profoundly and said, hey, this one here, you need to get to know her. And to get to know her, you need to come to me. So that being said, I knew right off the bat that that woman was probably going to be my wife, because he just spoke to me in a way that you know, said that. And from that meeting, I came here to Joy Community Church. And the first person, you know, I came in and everybody just came and they were all kind and you guys were all loving and everything. I was like, wow, this is a great place. And, you know, the first people I met was Brian and Sherry Riley, okay? And through the next weeks and so, I got saved, and I felt totally different. I was a guy who, you know, I wasn't a bad guy, but I didn't have the Spirit in me. I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me. I didn't have, you know, I didn't share goodness easily. And, you know, after meeting Brian Sharing, I met a lot of other people here. And, you know, I just felt different. I started getting into the Word, and the Word actually brought me understanding of how I should be in my walk with the Lord. And as that happened, I decided that I wanted to be a disciple. And the Lord put Mr. Brian Riley in that path for me. And what I will say is he is different from my dad in the fact that he is a communicator. He has many stories of faith and many stories that inspire me to step out of my comfort zone and be this person that I could stand up here and look at all you guys looking at me and try to control these shakes that I have going on. But Mr. Brian Riley, just when he speaks to me, he makes me feel like I'm his son. And that, you know, that he wants the best for me, and that, you know, it's hard to explain how I feel when I'm actually with him and he's teaching me and walking me through different scriptures and all that. And it's just very refreshing, and I'm blessed and honored that the Lord placed him in my path, and I do feel like he's my spiritual father in the fact that when he speaks, I listen. Okay, and I'm inspired by all the words that he speaks to me. So on this Father's Day, I would like to wish a very happy Father's Day to Mr. Brian Riley, and I'm just very blessed and honored that this man. Thanks to me. Thank you, sir. Love you. Huh? Oh, yeah, no doubt. Thank you, everybody. And peace be unto you and all the fathers. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, you're not just going to be giving testimony, young man. God has things in store for you. Get ready. Amen? Yes. Guys, isn't that powerful? That's what you call intentionally providing loving, godly instruction. It's powerful. So when a father humbly models how he relies upon God's wisdom, that's what takes place right there. His children will consider paying attention. What did he say? When he speaks, he
listens.
Brian never raises his voice, you know, past four decimals. But you hear what he has to say because he's a wise man. We're grateful for you, Mr. Riley. It's awesome. When I look at fathers impacting their children's lives through the gift of God's wisdom, I see another point in verses 3 to 6 that I want us to focus on, and that is invest in your children when they are young and inexperienced. Read with me, please, verse 3. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay a hold of my words with all your heart. We'll stop right there. And you look at that still tender. I love that because it's really important to understand that your children's hearts are tender. That no matter what their personality might be, a younger child is tender, moldable, and is waiting for you to affectionately as a father and affirmatively speak into their lives. And that word tender, still tender, is a reference to their innocence. It means their inexperience. And God's telling you as a father, this child has a preciousness of heart. And fathers allow mothers to think that way. I don't think that way. I'm a father. Well, God is saying to you as a father, from a father, Solomon, to his children, he's saying, no, pay attention, because they have a preciousness in their heart. They have a gentleness and an innocence, and I've given you the blessing to shape that and mold that and direct that. And we know that to be true because in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, the king says, King David is saying, then King David said to the whole assembly gathered together to build the temple, my son Solomon, the one who God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And so there'll be things that your child's not equipped to do yet. There are things that your child, God has ordained for that child to do, and you'll begin to see signs of that when they're young, and he's saying to you, they're tender, but I'm letting you see those specific things because I'm asking you to begin to shape that, mold that, and despite whether they're young, they're still called. Despite whether they're ignorant, they're still called. Despite whether they know what they're doing or not to do, they're going to lean into your wisdom at this moment. And through leaning into your wisdom and to leaning into your care and your affection and your affirmation, that child will grow up with a godly confidence, not self-confidence, but a godly confidence that will release them to achieve the thing that God has ordained them to achieve. Very important to understanding fathering our children. And then it talks to us, and it says, verse 4, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. And when he's talking about, he's taught me and said, Solomon is saying, my father David is passing on to me this gift of wisdom, which is going to be the legacy of my life. He didn't know he would write Proverbs. He didn't know that as a boy. He's just taking on the words of his father and they're shaping the way he's going to live, lead, and love life. And then it says, when you look at, and he taught me and said, it's also not only his legacy, but an inheritance of wisdom that will be passed on, not only from David to Solomon, but will be passed on to the next generation. That's what I want, don't you? oh boy, do we need that next generation to rise up in the wisdom of God. They're going to need the wisdom of God as never before. There's just so much to discern. There's just too many choices. And the world is spinning out of control. And so our children need their feet firmly planted in the gift of God's wisdom. I like what Jack W. Hayford said. He said, wise counsel is a heritage to be perpetuated one generation to another. So here is a father in Proverbs 4, and he's pleading with his child to consider the significance of what he's teaching, modeling, encouraging him to do. And what is passed on is not just a collection of platitudes. We think because we're Christians, our kids get it because it's God's word. First, what they get is when it's modeled. We can speak until we're turning red or pink or yellow or purple. But what they catch is when we model it for them. What is passed on is not just a collection of platitudes. We want our Christian kids to have perfect behavior. Can I tell you, kids are kids who sin and do wrong things. And parents have the responsibility to direct, correct, affirm in the Word and Spirit of God. What a child chooses to do with that when they're older is their choice, even when those things have been done for them. We're not just discipling our children or giving them the gift of wisdom for good behavior. We're giving them so they choose to have obedient behavior. And there is a difference between good and obedient. Obedient will lead them into the heart of God. Good behavior is rewarded by us. Obedient behavior is ordered and rewarded by God as well. The National Center for Fathering conducts this Father of the Year essay contest in partnership with local schools and sponsoring organizations. And there were 8 contests that were held altogether, and over 100,000 school children submitted essays on the topic, What My Father Means to Me. And so there's some little segments of those essays, and I want to read them. This one was from a first grader. He said, my dad is the best dad ever, and I would kiss a pig for him. Another first grader. My dad is a Frito-Lay man. That is an important job because Frito-Lay means chips, and chips mean food. It is so important because you can't live without food. A third grader. The dad in my life isn't really my dad. He's my grandpa. But he's been like a dad to me since I was born. I hope that as I get older, grandpa will teach me all the stuff he knows about wood and first aid and everything else he knows about. My grandpa isn't my father, but I wouldn't trade him for all the dads in the world. Love you, Grandpa. A fourth grader. Sometimes as a joke, I put my stinky socks in his briefcase. That's what I would do. So at work the next day, he'll think of me. Boy, will he think of you. Yep, that's my son, Jimmy. There he is. He's always at the concerts and plays that I am, even though he lives about an hour away. Fifth grader. You know what else my daddy does? He braids my hair. I'm the only girl in school I know whose dad braids her hair. I think that's not just a dad, that's a perfect dad. He's already is the world's greatest dad to me. I just wanted everybody else to know. A sixth grader. One time I had an assembly, and I was a soloist, and my dad was in the first row. And after my song, I smiled at my dad. And my dad smiled back at me. And then he started to cry. That was the best thing I had ever seen. You see, dads, our investments with our children's hearts through the gift of wisdom is actually transforming their everyday. You are the transformers of the everyday within your child's life. What a gift God has given. I believe one of the greatest responsibilities a father has is to encourage their child to become wise. I love verses 7 to 10 because those three verses really encourage us to inspire our children to embrace wisdom. It's not just one thing to speak wisdom. It's not just one thing to instruct wisdom, correct them through wisdom, or give direction for their lives with God's wisdom, but you want to inspire children. You want to inspire them to live to the fullness of God's destiny, the fullness of God's potential. You want to be honest with your child, but you don't want to be so honest that you crush their ability to take their first steps. Do you hear what I'm saying? We already know what their first steps are to look like in the sense of being a baby and taking your first steps. But for some of our kids to take the first steps really does mean they have to lean into you. And so here they are. And here this father pleads with his children. He's saying, I want you to possess it. I want you to know it. I want you to know that you can find life. You're going to find safety. You're going to find honor. I want to inspire you as my children to embrace and esteem wisdom. The way they know how to embrace and esteem wisdom is how you model how to do that. They need to see you asking God for it. They need to see you stop in those moments, fathers, when you're lost and you need direction. And you just need to say, Father in heaven, where do we go from here? They need to know when you're facing a crisis that the answer doesn't come from you, it comes from God and the Word of God and the Spirit of the living God in you. So you press into that. And because you're inspired, they're watching the outcome of those situations. They're inspired. And the next time they hit a brick wall or they're in a crisis or they're in a difficult situation or a difficult relationship or they have a major decision to make, they're inspired because they watched you be the role model of how to seek the gift of God's wisdom. It's beautiful. He inspires them to embrace, esteem wisdom. And I love this father. I love Solomon's thinking. He's single-minded. Rather than urging his children to pursue success, recognition, he knows where that's gotten him. Nowhere too fast. He exhorts them to get wisdom and not forsake it. And then we see that we learn from Solomon that a father's hope is to inspire this legacy of wisdom. This legacy of seeking God. There is something so powerful when a father sits down and takes his wife's hands and the children walk in the room and they're sitting there and they're praying together. Or if it's a single father and he doesn't have his wife and he's just leading his kids on their own and him. And he's on his knees and the kid walks in and he's seeking God. Or the time when the family is facing a major decision or a crisis and he has been seeking God, but then he pulls the family together and he said, I need all of us to get together to hear the voice of God on this one. We're not going to do this alone. There's power. And that legacy is birthed in the heart of a child. That legacy is deposited in the heart of a child. And that's why even Solomon says that when they're old, if they should depart from it, they will return to it. Why? Because it's their legacy. It's their inheritance. I'm believing that. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm believing that. Wisdom affects their quality of life. I want to bring up that next chart. There's another chart up here. Next, yes. And so when you are training your children to esteem wisdom and you're training them to embrace her, it increases the quality of life. And these are the things that are actually affected: their social relationships, their health, the quality of the environment, not in the sense of externally, but the environment in the sense of atmosphere in which they create within their lives. Financial well-being, belonging, personal safety, work, and then emotional well-being. That's what he's talking about here. These were the lessons he learned from his father. These are the things that if you read the book of Proverbs, from Proverbs chapter 1 to 31, those are the quality of life that Solomon is addressing throughout the book of Proverbs. And so we see the importance of that. We see also just that legacy. When I was reading, I found these children who had grown in their wisdom and who had learned to embrace wisdom. And Patrick, he was 10 years old, this little boy Patrick, and he said, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." That is wise, right, Patrick? Absolutely. Michael, the age 14, said, "When your dad is mad and he asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him." Listen, I was stupid enough to answer that question, okay? Don't do it. Joel 10, he's age 10. "Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat in her hand." Andrew, age 9. "Puppies still have bad breath, even after eating your mother's breath mints." Taylor, age 11. "When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair." Amber, age 9. "You can't hide a piece of broccoli in your milk. You're not going to get away with it." Mitchell, age 12. "Don't sneeze in front of your dad when you're eating a bunch of crackers." Michael, age 14. "Never, I say never, tell your mom her diet isn't working." Those are children who have received the gift of God's wisdom. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this Father's Day. We thank you for Solomon, who teaches us the gift of giving, God's gift of wisdom to our children, godly wisdom. We thank you that you want us to create a legacy of wisdom as we teach our children. We pray, Father, for strength. We pray, Father, for direction. We pray for courage. We pray for a spirit of gentleness as we guide, lead, direct, instruct, and correct and disciple our children in the gift of your wisdom. We look to you today, and we thank you for every father seated here who models, who exemplifies, and who has poured into their children the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. We're going to open up the altar for a time of ministry, encouragement. And if you're here, please come forward and be blessed. Happy Father's Day to each one of you. God bless.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.